the book of 2 Kings in chapter 4. And I realize that I only have a small amount of time, and so I will get to the point. The thing I want to talk about is a prophet's reward. A prophet's reward. What is it? This text will teach us as to what we get, what we need, and what we do, what we preach. And what we preach, if we're the true messengers of God, it always happens. 100%. Let's pick it up in the book of 2 Kings in chapter 4. It's my first time here in Abuja. I found this area. It's a very nice city. It feels like home. I've been in Lagos for 18 months, and I have realized that I've been living in the slum. It is high and it is quite fancy up here. It's very nice. But chapter 4, verse number 8 says this. Is that one day Elisha is a true prophet, a true man of God. 2 Kings chapter 4, 8. Is he went to Shunem, a prominent, a rich, a very wealthy woman who lived there, persuaded him to eat some food. So whenever he passed by, he stopped there to eat. This is point one, and the title of the message, A Prophet's Reward. It is right, and it is proper, that those who preach the gospel should live off of the gospel. We should be supported by the people that we preach to. But we have no right to tell them, to tell other people what they should give. In the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 9, and you want to hold your finger there in 2 Kings, and at each point I'm going to back it up with another scripture. And we want to make sure our points are always in scripture. And we want to preach scripture in its context. And we want you to go home and search the scripture and see. Just read the whole chapter. Read the whole book. And see if the things that we're saying are true. If we never want to just take a verse and make it to say something. Our job is to preach what God says. And so we have to hear Him speak in the Word. Then we speak exactly as He has told us in His Word. And so I can't tell you what to give. And you can't tell me. The book of 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse number 7, puts it like this. Each person, every man, should do as he has purposed or has decided in his own heart. Now, in the Old Testament law, we had to pay the tithe. We had to keep the Sabbath. We had to go up to Jerusalem 3 times a year. We had to offer animal sacrifices. And you couldn't even mix your garments. If you had on wool, you couldn't mix it with any linen. There's all kinds of Old Testament laws that we are no longer under in our Lord Jesus Christ. But that does not mean that we don't give. Just because I don't have to pay a tithe unto a Levite or a priest, I don't see any priests except all God's people are priests. You are a kingdom of priests. So am I going to pay you tithe and you sister?
But I am responsible to give unto the glory of God. And what happens sometimes is that people think, I'm not under law, so I can do whatever it is I want to do. But the gospel teaches us a new covenant, a new way of living in Jesus Christ. And if a man is blessing me in the preaching of the gospel, if he has given his life unto the Word of God, he studies it, he preaches it, he's faithful, he's an example, his character and conduct is to be followed, then I am to honor him according as I purpose in my own heart. I don't have to show him a receipt of the things I gave. I don't have to sign a card. Now, a pledge card, it can help a church organize in their building. If you have a project, as you tell the people, to write down what the Lord put on your heart that you're going to give to the work of the Lord so we can organize our budget. But no, that could be anonymous. All you need is an amount. Doesn't even need your name. No man, no woman is to come to you and me and tell us, you got to give 1,000 naira. You got to give 10,000 naira to get your blessing. Papa, my blessing already came down through the Lord Jesus Christ. He gave his life. He gave his precious blood. He already earned every blessing I'll get forever and ever. With the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And now as I think about him, as I work my budget with God, as I take everything that he gave me and say, Father, I want to honor you first. Here's what I can give cheerfully. Each person should do as he's purposed in his heart, not reluctantly, not because I feel like I have to, or I won't be saved, or I won't be blessed, and I'll be cursed, or out of necessity, not because any man is putting pressure on me. For God loves a cheerful giver. This is the thing I wish I had preached more at the other church. What makes us happy? Our sin is forgiven. We are the worst of men. We're very hell worthy, y'all. We deserve his judgment. And he came in and he took our place. He suffered the wrath of God. He stretched himself out on a cross. And he died. And now he chose me. He could have just passed me by and met me in hell one day. I said, You blasphemed my gospel. You turned your back on me. I told you and you rejected it. But no, in tender mercy, says he came to me by the gospel. He told me the truth about my sins. He exposed me until I was desperate. And then he put the fear of God in my heart. And I came to him in my need, and he received me with Christ's sake. That's why I'm a cheerful king. I was at the other church this morning, and there's a man I knew of a bond life. He's faithful. And so I was honored to be in his presence in his little house church. This smaller of the wisdom. And I forgot about the offering. But when they passed the basket, I emptied out everything in my pocket except this. Just in case I need transport. I don't know how much it was, but I gave him everything I had because he's faithful to the gospel, and so are those people. And I want to help him a little bit, even though he might not even need my money. It wasn't that much. But I only counted what I needed to get home or to buy me some water.
Because I don't want to be a big burden, though.
As a man purposes in his heart. That's what you give. And let me say this also about giving. Did you know that the Church of Macedonia is the poorest church in the New Testament? And it is the only church that Paul commended in their giving. And he never promised them any more money at all. Because that would be covetous giving. It would not be true. That would be an investment where I'm looking for a return in this world instead of a blessing where I'm looking to give thankfulness unto God. Are you giving to get or are you giving to give? Huh? We give, though, because we want to. That's why we lay our life down. It isn't to earn my salvation. I'm not in here in Nigeria to earn anything. I'm here because I have obtained mercy. And you see the difference? That's cheerful. If you're here because you're going to get some comfort or money or some prestige, life gets miserable. But if you got everything in Christ, everything still keeps your eyes on him with joy. Isn't that true, sir? As what they tell me, that preach that old gospel that used to be here in Nigeria. I want to bring it back off. I want to see it shouted. I want to see it proclaimed. I want to see it stood up. I want to dust off the old creed that had the truth and preacher. Our grandfathers were not covetous, they gave. And the missionaries didn't come here and ask them for anything. They gave their life and counted it an honor to die for Christ and you. Same gospel. Never changed. Let's go back into 2 Kings chapter 4, please. We got a gospel. That's of God's law. So that's his reward. It is to be provided for now. You take care of your pastors from what you have. And it's according as to what you have, not what you don't have. Point number two is this. A prophet's need. A prophet's need. Verse number 9 and 10. After providing him with something to eat, then she said to her husband, as he kept coming by, this man, Elijah, this faithful man of God, this prophet of God, I know that the one who often passes by here is a holy man of God. That's a prophet's requirement, right? But let's see his need in verse 10. So let's make a small room upstairs. I don't need a mansion. I don't even need a house. But it'd be nice to have a bed. If there's room enough in your house and you have a room, a bed, a table so I can study, all day and night, a chair so I can sit as I serve your soul by studying this book and in prayer. And a lamp so I can see. That's the prophet's need. He needs enough to preach the gospel. So he doesn't need a brand new car. He needs to be able to get to where he can preach or where he has to work to provide for his family. He doesn't need a big house. Now, there isn't anything wrong with a big house if you've got one. Just slice off a portion to take care of God's name. And the thing I'm saying is this, hear me. Listen to me. Is the man of God, if he's holy, if he's real, his eyes are not on this world. He is not living for your money or his money. He's not living for your praise or his own praise. He's got his eye on things that can never be seen. And he's living in another world. That's why he comes and preaches Jesus Christ and the kingdom of God. Ain't that the truth? What did Paul say in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 4? What we need is a revolution of gospel preaching in Nigeria. We need a radical change. And some of the old gray hairs need to stand up and say, that's what my daddy taught me. He learned it from the missionary, and I demand it be preached all over again. I won't go along with the flow. But sir, I will preach and teach with you the word of God. God gets glory. God gets honor. God is the one who died for our sin. God sent his son. And he needs our life. What do I need? I'm very blessed to have money for some nice garments. I like clothes. But don't let me forget to support the gospel. And I shall not squeeze it out of you to make myself fat. No, 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 no. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 18. Now in this chapter, Paul was going through struggles. He's been beaten. He's almost killed. He's chastened. He's cast down. But the Lord God is sticking with him. And he's using all these trials to strip us of all confidence in ourselves. The pastor this morning is a small church, but the house was packed. And the people paying attention. But he has to struggle with something I had to struggle with for many years. It doesn't seem like it is successful. And you know what God does? He's using that agony to strip us of success until we don't care as long as he's here. That's who needs to be in church. God. And when he's here, Lord, you bless us to bring somebody else to minister to. And we want to spread the gospel. And we want to evangelize. But it's not about who's here if God's not here. And if God's here, everybody else is just missing out on. But the true man of God, who's been beaten down by his trials, who has been humbled. Verse number 18, 2 Corinthians 4. We do not look to what is seen. Our eyes are not on our money. Our eyes are not on wives and children. Our eyes are not on anything in this world. That's not where our head is at. But on what is unseen. The unsearchable, untold riches of the Lord Jesus Christ, the everlasting covenant, the fact that God chose you from the beginning, and the fact that he predestined you to everlasting bliss, and the fact he called you and me and redeemed us by his precious blood. the fact that we have the heavenly inheritance. And that God forever and ever is going to show His goodness by how He treats us through Christ Jesus. Have I preached anything that can be seen? And neither did the apostles. Their eye was on a kingdom that's not of this world. And the Lord Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. If it was, then my servants wouldn't let me go to the cross. But my kingdom is not around here. So I go die in order to bring in its fulfillment. And the power of the Holy Spirit, the holy life, the new kingdom of joy, peace, and righteousness in the Holy Ghost. Oh, what I thought you were so tickled at salvation. Until salvation can make you happy every day, folks, you cannot be happy in the kingdom of God. If something you cannot see is not your chief joy and love, you're not even in the kingdom of God. It's invisible. That's what we preach, the forgiveness of sins, repentance, grace, mercy, compassion from God, the Almighty to the sinner, acceptance in the beloved, everlasting life, not loaves and fishes. That was an act of His compassion. But at the end of John 6, they all left Him. But Peter said, you got the words. You got things I can't see, Lord, but I feel their power in my heart. You got the Word of God. You're the Messiah. You're the Son of the Living. I stick with you. Even if I don't eat again, I stick with you. That's what Peter had. That's the gospel. Because the things seen are temporary. I was at the movies. And as an actor, I know that I don't know him, even though I'm from California, but I've been watching him. And as I'm watching this movie, it kept going over in my mind. He's getting older. And it made me mad, oh. And you know why? Because I'm getting older. And that freshness is gone. And the muscles shrink down. Oh, and the glory of my youth is a memory. It's forgotten. But the kingdom that me and you are preaching is forever and ever. It has no end. Its enjoyment only gets full after we leave this world. To God is the best thing that ever happened to us. It's such a game. But how can we preach that, Pastor, if our minds are on this world? What we got, what we drive, what we wear, who we're married to, what we do in the eyes of other people. Oh, we're trying to keep up on Instagram, though. There ain't no joy in Instagram unless your eyes are on Christ. Always somebody prettier now. I was at a nice house last night. A house I couldn't afford in California. But you know where there I was? On a bigger house. Oh, but if your eyes on the kingdom, there's peace. This is my last point.
Thank you, Pastor.
It's the last point. Let's go back into 2 Kings 4. Now, this is very serious. This is very somber. This is very sober. And I want to preach it that way. After he got his bed and his chair and his lamp and his table. Let's read down to verse number 15. I'll start at verse 11. And so one day he came there and stopped, and he went to the room upstairs to lie down. And he ordered his attendant, Hazai, to call this Shunammite woman. This prophet Elisha wants to do her some good. And so he called her, and she stood before him. And then he said to Hazai, say to her, look,
if you've gone through all this trouble, if you love me, if my heart has been joined unto you, I see you love God and you love His message. And you honor His messenger because you love Him. What can we do for you? A true prophet is a giver. Can we speak on your behalf to the king or the commander of the army? He's not charging her. This woman gave out of her own heart, and he's appreciative, and he's responding with thankfulness that wants to do something back. That's what the kingdom of God is. It's love that's reciprocated. And her answer is, I'm living among my own people. I am a Gentile, and I don't want to be a Jew. And so he asked, then what should be done for her? And Gehazi answered, well, she has no son, and her husband is old. It's impossible, though. It's not going to happen. And Elisha, as a true prophet, verse 15 said, call her. So Gehazi called her, and she stood in the doorway. And Elisha said, it is a definite moment in time. It's a promise that has no ambiguity at all. At this time next year, you will have a son in your arms. Verse 17, is you already know what happened. Because the woman conceived. Here's point three, and my last point. If I'm a true prophet, everything I say happens. You'll never find a prophet of God say anything that does not come to pass. Because Deuteronomy 18 said that he should die if he did that. And so when I stand here and say, blessings, oh, you're going to be blessed. You're going to be rich. You won't get sick. And then there's one person that gets a raise. And everybody else gets as poor as they were yesterday. What does that make me? False prophet. Whatever God says happens. Yes, that's exactly right. Anybody promising what does not come to pass is what? Sin. False prophet.
That's the truth of God.
And you know how I know what's going to come to pass? I preach the gospel. If you believe on Him, you have eternal life. You look to Him, you will be saved. That's absolute. He that believes in Him shall not be put to shame. Just look at the last scripture. Oh, I appreciate you listening. Thank you for the encouragement, brother. In Philippians chapter 4, I cannot tell you if you're going to be poor or rich tomorrow. I don't know if you're going to die, if I'm going to die, if the Lord Jesus is going to come to take this world. No man knows. Our brother James says, instead of saying, tomorrow, I'm going to do this, that, and the other, is you ought to say, if God will. What are you declaring and decreeing? You can't even decree you to wake up in the morning. You cannot decree or declare your next breath. It's got to be given to you all. God's in charge, not man. But when I preach His word, it happens. And here's what Paul is saying in Philippians 4. Is he saying, look, I've abounded and I've abased. Oh, I've been up, pastor, and I've been as broke as a joke. I've slept in the BCC and I've slept on the floor with no mosquito net. I've done both. I've had comfortable sheets and I've had insects leave 400 bites on my body in Nigeria.
I had them both.
I don't know what tomorrow has
in Kaduna.
I took my mother off my Facebook page just in case I don't come back. I don't want to trouble her ahead of time. And my apologies unto her if I die. But I know this, and I can declare it with all boldness, just like Paul did. Verse 11 through 13. I don't say this out of need, for I've learned to be content in whatever circumstance I am. I know both how to have little, and I know how to have a lot, how to abound and to abase. In any and all circumstances, I've learned the secret of what? Of being content, as to whether I'm well fed or I'm hungry, as to whether in abundance or need. Here it is, verse number 13. I can prophesy this, so I can declare it. I am able to do all things through Christ, who strengthens me. It don't matter what he does tomorrow. It doesn't matter what he lets the devil do to me. As long as I got Jesus Christ, there'll be peace in my heart.
Amen.
That's absolutely coming to pass.
Amen.
Oh, brothers and sisters, that's the prophet's. His reward is to have people who hear his message from their own heart. His need is the minimals. Just a bed, just a table, a chair, a lamp, so I can serve your soul. And his message is always true. God, the Lord bless you.
Amen.
I'm the pastor.
All the way to Calvary, you were
what a privilege,
for you. Me. For me.
Are you going to preach?